Good morning. We are group Uvas Comedas. We're interviewing Dr. Braulio Mesa, ESL instructor. It is March 14th, 2018 at 7:45 a.m. Group members are Jocelyn Garcia, Lexi Williams, Connor Clark, Angel Acosta, and David Womack. Members attending the interview, David Womack, Angel Acosta, and Jocelyn Garcia. Good morning, Mr. Mesa. Thank you for your interview.
Good morning.
Okay, Mr. Mesa, we had talked earlier. You have some notes. We made some notes on your past, mathematical and physics, master's in education from Russia, and also secondary education. You did help start the ESL Newcomer Academy, and there's been some various awards. First off, again, thank you. Could you tell me about how you obtained your education and where you started from?
So, after high school, I win the scholarship to move to for 5 years to Russia to study. This is was scholarship because my GPA in Cuba was very high, and for that reason I went to study to Russia to finish my bachelor degree in physics and in math. Even in Russian language too, because after regular class I went to university again to try to take my degree in Russian language. So,
forgive me, Mr. Mesa. We had talked earlier, you were born in 19...
I born in 1961 in Cuba. Okay. I released from Cuba.
And what year did you graduate your high school in Cuba?
I was graduated for high school in 1979, and then I went to Russia for 5 years. So from 1979 to 1980, and 5 more years. So now I am finished my university in Russia in 1985. After that, I returned to Cuba and started to work in Cuba like a math and astronomy teacher, because my course in Russia include the astronomy course, and I make some investigation about the astronomy subject. And for that reason, after I am finished and I start to work in Cuba, for 2 years, I teach astronomy in 12th grade.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember most about your home country or the city you came from?
The weather, beach, and the time that we were running for the for the tree. The memory is very nice, but I come to this country in 19. Oh, I don't remember. Yes, 1998. And I never returned to Cuba. So I only have a memory about my country, very nice in memory, but I remember that some no good news about my country in this moment. Economic things, and this is one of the point that I emigrate to this country was for economic problem. All my family has very big economic problems, and for that reason we decide emigrate to this country. I apply for the lottery, special lottery. I was very lucky because I win the lottery in 1998, and in this year we whole family, so my wife, my three kids, and me coming to this country.
Again, can you tell us what part of Cuba are you from?
Okay, so I born in the country of Cuba, Santiago de Cuba. And when I was 12 years old, all my family, so my parents, moved to Havana City. So my route is from the hot part of Cuba, Santiago de Cuba, and after that I moved to the metropolis of Cuba. This is Havana City, the capital. And it's very nice country. The people, the Cubans are very friendly, but political situation in the government I don't know, I don't like this part of my country, the government. For that reason, or this is not for that reason, this is this one of the reasons that I decided to emigrate with my family. I remember that I, in Cuba, in my 12, 13 years that I worked after I was graduate, I prepared different pedagogic and motivational book, and only one was prepared or printed or because like my politics idea sometimes is not the same like the government, and for that reason That's right. This is true.
And if you wouldn't mind, Señor Mesa, could you possibly elaborate about the political unrest in Cuba when you were a young man? The things that, what I mean by elaborate, things that encouraged you to want to get an education in Russia. And obviously, there was a lot of political problems in Cuba. Could you elaborate on those issues during that time?
So, talk about it. This is a little complicated. But when I was young, high school, middle school, and elementary school student, I don't feel nothing about it. My youngest was very nice. So I like it. Any Cuban kid play, went to the school, and do it everything that everybody in Cuba regularly do it. But after, when I went to Russia, when I go outside of the Cuban prison, is correct? Because, is correct to say that? Prison, or when you are, so you start to see something different. And then you start to think if your life is the correct life or not. And then I start to understand that this is not correct life. That the government in Cuba try to, you don't know too much about around the world, because then you start understand that you really live in one beautiful country, but like a jail. And then what's very complicated, because I was a teacher in Cuba, and sometimes I can say what I think, because if I explain to my students when I teach in Cuba that my political ideas is different than the ideas of the government, I will be fired. And for that reason, for some years, I put like a mask. Because my first goal in Cuba was teach math and physics. Why? Because this is my favorite subject, and I love this subject. And usually when I teach, I always try to motivate a student. And for that reason, for example, I remember, I bring it for just in case, I can talk about the first book that I, the first not, one of the books that I finished in Cuba was, this is one investigation about Albert Einstein's life to motivate a student study physics and math. So, but I did it a little mistake, and I include some of my ideas, and for that reason, they never was published in Cuba. The second material that I work in Cuba, and I went to the international Congress with the first book, Pedagogía, 94, and I went with the second one to Pedagogía, 96. This is two different Congress about investigation, pedagogical and school investigation. So the second one was Enigmas, Hypotheses, and Curiosities. This is I collect some enigmas, hypotheses, and curiosities to motivate the student to study physics, math, Cuban history. But I remember that some friend tell me, hey, please, if you want that this book or this material or this investigation go up, can you include the patriotic symbol of Cuba? Oh, wow, nice idea. And for that reason, I include the history of the, in Cuba exists now in the country, legendary animal from long times ago. This is Almiquí, and the history of the Palma Real, and the history of Mariposa. This is the national flower. And for that reason, when I include these topics in this investigation, and I use in my class, so I went to the second International Congress Pedagogía 96. So for that reason, I say that Cuban life and Cuban people life is very complicated. So everybody need to understand and live in Cuba to really, really understand.
Can you tell me about the people who raised you? What is their story?
Okay. So my heritage is from Spain, Asturias, España. So according to my mom and my grandma and grandpa, I remember that they told me that they come from Spain close to 19 maybe 20 something. They emigrate from Spain to Cuba because in this time economic situation in the country of Spain was very, very, very bad. And in Cuba, at least people find job. And I remember that my mom told me that my grandpa, with my grandpa, he was 12 years old. He started to work in Cuba. And he never finished. He finished only 6th grade. But he was my grandpa was very nice worker. And start to work. He has different work, I don't remember, but I very good remember that one of the last work, my grandpa was owner of very big jewelry store. And have farm, and he was associated with a very high Cuban medium high people with a medium high level in Cuba, because he was a jewelry store. So my mom can study at university like a teacher. She was graduated like a teacher. And my grandpa brother was arithmetic teacher in Spain, in Asturias, Oviedo, Spain. So my mom's sister was geography teacher. My mom's brother was chemistry teacher. So I come from almost everybody was a teacher. I am sure that my grandpa wasn't a teacher because he emigrated. And this is one part of emigration. Sometimes you can do it everything that you want because you focus in the work to keep your family in very good position. And I think that the history is like a walk around, because in Cuba I start my study for take my PhD level, and I do it everything, but 3 months before I need to defend the doctorate level, I emigrate to here. I prefer take my family and emigrate, because if I wait, I defend my doctor in pedagogical level, maybe the government after that say, you need to stay here 5 years after. I presented all document to emigrate. So this is rule in Cuba. If you are doctor, maybe pedagogic doctor or regular medical doctor, if you want to emigrate, you need to stay in Cuba 5 years. And only after this 5 years, you can emigrate. And for that reason, I say, bye-bye, doctor, PhD, bye-bye. I prefer emigrate. And this is a little bit history about my parents. My dad was very Cuban. People, he worked in the farm. He was a farmer, but he is he's not a farmer. So he has a farmer, and people work for my father. He was very good I don't know what to say in English, but he know everything about how you need to grow, about agriculture. So, but what? Very good. So my mom was a teacher, my dad was a... I think that this is, he have a farmer, but he was a businessman. So, that's it. I need to include in this history my wife. We are together 30 years. She is a teacher in Cuba, and here she work at young elementary school. So, and one more detail is my middle daughter finished UOBER. She is a Spanish teacher. Now she work at Ballard High School. So I think that we can go to the next question.
How did you and your family come to Louisville? Because, and I ask you that because the United States is a pretty big country. Mm-hmm. A lot of Cubans immigrate to Miami, some to New York. Why Louisville?
Okay, this is very interesting question. For example, when I win the lottery, and this time, I have the opportunity to went to National Library in Cuba. I have special permission to use computer in this library because, like, I moved in the school, and for my investigation books or articles that sometime was published in some math or science newspaper in Cuba, I have like a permission to go to National Library in Cuba and use internet. Unbelievable. For that, you need to have permission. Not everybody have this permission. And when I know that I win the lottery, I don't say, and I say, everybody in my family don't say nothing yet. In this moment, my wife was a teacher. She was a Spanish and literature teacher at middle school. In this time, I was assistant superintendent in my district, Playa, in Havana City. So I can say nothing yet. And everything that we do it or did it to move here was in secret, top secret. Top secret. But we do it everything. So we did it everything in secret, and when we have all permission to move here, I went to my job and I say that I need a deliberation, that I don't want to work anymore like assistant superintendent in my district because I will move to another job. After different meeting, when I need to demonstrate why, if my job is very good, and why you need to move to another job. I don't remember how many meeting I had with the superintendent in my district, but I say, because my salary will be better in the other job. So he signed my liberation of this position, and then I went to Ministry of Education of Cuba to ask that I will move out of the country, and Minister of Education must to sign my liberation. Of course, like in this moment, I was assistant superintendent because he signed my liberation. In this moment, I was a simple math and physics teacher. And I received my permission to go of Cuba in 1 month. Then I went to library and I find what places in this moment, 1998, immigrant that win the lottery can go. I remember that I can go to stay in Miami. Too many Cubans, not too much job. Everybody speaking Spanish. I say this is not good for whole family. Remember that the family is my wife and me and three kids. Two girls and one boy. Say, Miami is no good. Chicago was another city. I check in online, too cold. The Wind City, no, too cold. No, Cleveland, too cold. Las Vegas, oh no. With three kids, Las Vegas, I don't like it. Texas, in Texas, specifically Houston, I say, no bad, but this is too hot. And then I find Kentucky. Wow, I remember that I only listened this name in some cowboys book that I read long, long times ago when I was a little kid, that I want to, I love read a lot, and Kentucky. And then I investigate more about this city. I talk to my wife and say, oh, wow, it's nice. You can find the Four Seasons. Nice. The weather. We like it. Even I know winter because I went to Russia. Not my wife, not my kid, but they say, we can try. If everybody like winter, we stay. Another thing that not too much Cuban here in that time. So we decide, my wife and me decide, okay, we can try in Kentucky. When we come in here and we went in Miami, we stayed in Miami only 1 week. Immigration department prepare all documents, and I say we want to go to Louisville, Kentucky, and through Catholic Charities. And we come in here in October 22nd, 1998, we coming here. This was the first day in Louisville, Kentucky. I remember that one person of Catholic charity. Went to airport here, take us. We went to transitory place, like a week. And after that, we moved to the first apartment where we live close to a year. A year in 2-3 months in this place before move to the house. Because I remember that in Cuba, everybody say, oh, in United States, house is very complicated. You need to wait maybe 5-10 years. After a year, maybe a year, 2-3 months, like I say. So we move from this rental apartment to our house. Even if we live in this house now. So I think that this is in very, very, very fast steps how we decide coming to this state. And I think that was the best decision that my wife and me took it. Because in 20 years, very soon will be 20 years that we live here, she only has 2 jobs. The first job in the filter, Koch filter company, and school. And this is my third job. 2 factory first and schools. So I say that 20 years, 2-3 jobs, this is very nice. Even we come in here and we never, ever speak nothing about English. Because my wife speaks French, I speak Russian. And I am sure that if I practice a month, I speak Russian better than English. Because I learned Russian when I was teenagers. And this is very good. For that reason, I think that I love work with ESL students. Because when I went to Russia, I was ESL student. I don't know nothing about the Russian language. And I remember that some teachers say, hey, I know that you don't speak Russian. Very good. But remember, learn one language. This is like a reflect. You need first listen. Maybe the first week you don't understand nothing. But after a week, you will fish some words. Maybe 1, maybe 2. After a month, you start to fish it more words, and then you will understand maybe a sentence. After 2 months, maybe you understand a little more, and more, and more. So for that reason, work with ESL students. Students that come into this city, to this school, and don't know nothing about English, this is a challenge. This is very nice. Because even I work now, in this moment, with SAIF students. SAIF students means students that don't have any educational background. So, for example, I have a student here that the last grade that they finish in their country is third grade, fourth grade, sometimes sixth grade, and they are now in ninth grade. So this whole, we need to try to, with this student, jump whole this pool without any knowledge. For that reason, if you see my class, it's too many posters. Why? Because I need to try that students memorize. They don't have time now, and we don't have time to teach like a regular course. No, I need to teach math. I need to teach English, but I need to teach math and English in the same time with students that maybe the last grade that they finish is, or they don't went to the school for the last 5 years. So it's very complicated, but in the same time it's very, very, very nice. Because when this student take the first day a test, and this the same test they need to take at the middle of the school year, they can show the progress. And they feel very good when they show, oh my, I remember Mr. Mesa, look at this, I don't can answer this question at the beginning of the school year, and now I can. And I say, and see in 3, 4, or 6 more years, a month, when you finish, we need to try to do again the same test. And this is very, for me, is very nice when they feel and they excited, super excited when they say, oh my gosh, Mr. Mesa, look at this. So I think that I include one more question in this, that why I love teach in this school. And I never will move from this school, because work with ESL, for me, this is the most interesting, nice, and motivating job if you are a teacher.
Next. Very good. You have education in Cuba, Russia, and currently in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate the differences between education in the three different cultures?
Unbelievable. This is the most common question. This is the most common question for the Cuban parents. When Cuban parents come in here, what is the best education here in Cuba? And after some years work in the same place, all time I say, this is different. This is different education. And different education, but each education, Cuba and Cuba and Russia and in here, depend of the characteristics of the students, characteristics of the country. For example, in Cuba, use memorization. Memorization and practice a lot. For example, like a math or physics teacher, I remember that memorize too many different kind of exercises, this is the best way to solve any other exercises. Because you try to memorize, this is like a ajedrez, shach,
chess.
Like a chess. The best chess player, I think, look at this, when you speak different language, sometimes the brain is like a computer. I don't remember how I can say ajedrez, chess, in English, and automatically my brain went to Russian, shakhmat. Shakhmat, this is chess, and this is ajedrez for the Russian. Okay, so so Cuba used memorization. Russia is more students need to think more. For example, here, when you need to take a test, the best way to take a test is multiple choice question and some open response question. Maybe on the test you can find 3, 4, 5 open response, even short responses or long, big responses. But this is, in the whole test, maybe 5, 6 open response. But the other 20 or 30 is multiple choice question. In Cuba, I never ever listen about multiple choice question. In Russia, the same. In Cuba, in Russia, student when need to take a test, and I talking about test because remember that test like a way that the teacher prove if a student progress or not. For that reason, I use this example. In the Russia and in Cuba, the question you never need to bubble in or check or nothing. You need to think, answer, explain, summarize, define, but never check. So for that reason, that education in these three different countries is completely different. It's completely different. But when you add Cuban first, after that Russian, and now here, I think that when I teach math or physics, because last year, I teach chemistry and physics in high school. This year only I teach math. But I use element of Cuba, Russia, and from here, and I combine all this like a mixed pot. And the result is very interesting because my students learn, my students coming the first day to the school very nervous, scared, don't know nothing. Sometimes they don't know multiplication tables. And when finish, at least they have vocabulary to understand the subject. In the next school, when they move, or when they move to the other grade, or to the next school. For that reason, I say that this is different system of education, but this three country has very good things and other that is not very good, but if you know the bad thing, you say, I don't need to use this part. I use this or that one because this is the best. So, and I can decide with my student how I can teach. Sometimes my test is not multiple choice. My test, the student need to describe with very easy word. For example, on the poster over there is vocabulary word. So student need to read and use this word when they talk to me, when they want to explain me something. I say, I don't care if you don't say me in very good English. I don't care. Don't worry about it. You check the vocabulary word and try to say me how you solve any equation, for example, but use vocabulary word. And use this word is in one moment you can. You don't remember how connect two words or two sentences saying Spanish. Saying Spanish. But you will see that in 2-3 months, using every day this vocabulary word and connection, like then, and. So, you see, you will maybe not perfect, but maybe not very fluent, but in 1, 2, 3, 4 months, I can understand you when you explain me something in English. And in 2-3 more years, wait, you can tell me. Maybe you will speak English better than me. Because you are young.
Very good. What do you believe the ESL programs will be like in 20 years from now? Do you think they'll be different? Do you think they'll be the same?
The ESL programs?
Yes, sir.
ESL program long times ago, for example, in 2001, 2002, 2003, I am sure that was easier. What happened? According to the statistics, I remember in my first school, the first year, I worked with 20, 30, 40 ESL students from Cuba, Hispanic, and other languages. When I start to work here at ESL Newcomers Academy in 2007, I start to work here not like a teacher. I start to work here like a, I don't know, sometimes I say that I was a behavior coach, attendance clerk. So I support the principal in the office. In that time, we began the school year with 90, 95 students and finish school year with 2007, 2021. But now, in this moment, we have three different places from ESL Newcomers Academy. One here at Shawnee, another place in Gaines, and another in Phoenix. So we have three different places. Here is only high school students from 9th and 10th grade. In Phoenix and Gaines is middle school, 6, 7, 8. But we have, in this moment, 800-something students. This school year, here, when we begin in the school year, if I add the student in these three different places, we start with 400-something. And long times, not long times ago, maybe 5 years ago, we finished a school year with 2,000-something, maybe 3,000. Now we're beginning a school year with more than 450 students. So it's one important information. Here, in 2007, when I start here, we have, for example, the principal. In the office, I work with the principal and 14 teachers. 14. Now, here, only here, I don't will count Gaines. I will not count Phoenix. Here, we have 43 teachers, and three counselors. This is one Gaines counselor, one it's not doctor, it's a health counselor. For a student that have problem, remember that emigration is very, have too many things, and everybody can assimilate emigration in the same form. And we have a student that was, ladies was, I would say, the, you know, too many health problem. Another counselor. In the office, we have secretary, assistant principal, principal, attendance clerk. So now, it's huge, huge. I think that in total, now we are close to 80 people from staff, from all the three places with the counselors and everybody, close to 80. And I remember in 2007, we are only 16 people. So the growth was very, 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 very fast. So for that reason, definitely ESL programs in these 20 years, they are different. And so a school district, for other hand, add new ways to teach ESL students better. So they organize PD. They organize courses for teachers, to grow up the skills, learning skills. So it's changed. It's completely different. And now it's better. Much better.
Right, very good, Mr. Mesa. I believe that's all the time we have for questions. You answered everything amazingly, and we greatly appreciate you for meeting with us today and allowing us the opportunity to hear your amazing story. Absolutely incredible. We are in a current class, Latin American Studies, Latino Studies at University of Louisville, with Professor Dr. Catherine Massoth, and I believe she'll look forward to hearing this story. And that's all we have. Again, I'm David Womack. We have Angel Acosta and Jocelyn Garcia here with us today that did interview Senor Braulio Mesa. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I need to say something more. For example, thank you for giving this opportunity to talk about my history. And sorry if I did a mistake in English. I am not fluent yet, but I am sure that very, very soon. I say very soon. I am ESL teacher. So every day I try to grow up my English skills. And thank you for giving this opportunity to explain and talk about my history. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.